Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Thai Expat Daily Show. I'm your host, Ciarán Mac, as always, and delighted you've been able to tune in with us yet again for another show. Now, before we do get started, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and give us an old share on social media if you can. Now, if you like listening to us on a podcast player, there's a link down below in the description, which will take you to a website where a vast array of podcast players can be found. And finally, if you want to support the show, if you like the show, couple of ways you can do it. The first way is just to become a channel member, and you can do so through YouTube, or alternatively you can also buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com, link also down below in the description. And finally, if you want to follow us on TikTok or Instagram, links are also down below there. On TikTok, we're doing short versions of these videos, so you'll get them for a minute 30, and you can subscribe and follow us there as well. It's proven to be quite popular and a great way to get your news in the evening time. So now that's all done and dusted, let's jump into the top stories doing the rounds here in Thailand today. Heatstroke kills 30 in Thailand this year as kingdom bakes. In Thailand, the scorching heat has become a deadly adversary, claiming the lives of at least 30 people due to heatstroke this year alone. The government issued stern warnings amidst the baking temperatures as the mercury soared to alarming levels, with Bangkok experiencing temperatures hitting a staggering 40.1 degrees Celsius. The situation escalated to an extremely dangerous level as the heat index, factoring in humidity and wind speeds, soared to above 52 degrees Celsius, prompting authorities to issue dire cautions. In Udon Thani province, rural northeast Thailand, similar warnings were sounded as the blistering heat persisted. Now, the health ministry grimly announced the death toll, with 30 succumbing to heatstroke between January and April of this year, a figure that's already alarming compared to the entire count of 37 in the preceding year. Officials, including Direk Kampen from Thailand's Department of Disease Control, advised vulnerable demographics such as the elderly and those with underlying health conditions to stay indoors and stay hydrated. April typically marks the peak of Thailand's heat, compounded this year by the El Niño weather pattern. Last year's heat stress records across the globe, particularly in Asia, underscored the severity of the situation. Thailand in particular experienced a scorching heat wave, with temperatures hitting a near record 44.2 degrees Celsius in Lampang province, nearing the nation's all-time high. Across the border in Myanmar, the situation is no less intense, with temperatures hitting a blistering 45.9 degrees Celsius. However, the populace there face additional challenges due to ongoing power blackouts stemming from the aftermath of the 2021 coup, hindering access to cooling measures like fans and air conditioners. So if you are here in Thailand at the moment, you will know that it has become very, very hot recently. And it's absolutely horrible out at times. Now, I'm down in Phuket and the Panya area, so I've been dealing with the heat here. But wherever you are, no matter where you are in Thailand at the moment, please do take care of yourself. You know, don't be out all day, because at the end of the day, you could possibly get sick. And, you know, make sure you drink in your water and try to stay indoors as much as possible in the shade. And another thing which a lot of people kind of forget about is if you have pets or animals, you know, to make sure they're also kept indoors, keep a fan on them, make sure they have lots of water, because they too can suffer from heat stroke and they too can pass on. I was watching a TikTok video about somebody giving a warning about this in America as well, that, you know, people always forget about their pets and that they also struggle in this kind of heat. So that's just a friendly reminder as well for people out there. But we'll move along to the next story of the day, and quite an interesting one. Thailand is to replace the military appointed Senate and reduce its power. So possibly a good thing here. So Thailand's cabinet recently greenlit a significant overhaul of the Senate, marking a pivotal shift in power dynamics within the country. Since the 2014 coup, the military has wielded considerable influence, essentially hand-picking senators who effectively held veto power over the selection of the prime minister. Last year's episode, where the Senate aligned with military-backed parties to thwart the winning Move Forward party from forming a government, exemplified this manipulation of power. However, the tide is turning, with the Senate's wing being clipped, stripping them of their authority to vote on government formation. Instead, a complex selection process involving various professional groups will determine the composition of the new Senate, albeit without a say in governance. This move comes amidst criticism directed at the Senate for obstructing the progressive agenda of the Move Forward party, which sought to challenge entrenched interests, including business monopolies and laws safeguarding the monarchy from criticism. Despite now being the largest opposition party, Move Forward faces dissolution proceedings over legal disputes. The restructured Senate, slated to be operational by July, will retain some oversight powers, but will be subordinate to the elected lower house in legislative matters. This shift marks a significant juncture in Thai politics, signalling potential changes ahead. So, as you know, the Senate were appointed by the military junta around the time of the election, actually just before the election. I think they were given a 5 or 6 year term. They were all hand-picked by Prayut Chan-o-Cha and his cronies and given power, unelected people, given power to decide who the next prime minister of this country would be. And we all know what happened there. Peter Lim Janarat and his party won the election. They put together a coalition that would go into government to form the government. And then he went to get the votes in the parliament with the Senate as well. And he couldn't get enough votes because the Senate voted against him. And these people basically subdued or subverted the voice of the people, the will of the people, but with no shame at all. They don't care. They don't care about the people of the country. These guys are collecting their handsome salaries at the end of each month for doing very, very little, apparently. In fact, during their time, the Senate's time there, they never once questioned the Prime Minister, Prayut Chan-o-Cha, when he was in office. However, when Mr. Thavazin is in office, they've lots of questions for him. They want to call him up to ask him all about this, that and the other. But when Prayut was there, not a question. But you can see, obviously, the bias because they were put there by him. But nevertheless, it is good to see that the powers have been stripped away from them. They will no longer have a say in who will be the Prime Minister of this country. And it'll be solely down to the people elected by the people of this country to decide who will be the next Prime Minister of the country. Unfortunately, I don't think it'll ever be Peter Lim Janarat. I have a feeling that their party is going to be dissolved very soon. And he will also receive an automatic 10-year barring from being able to run in public office or in politics. Well, maybe in 10 years' time he could come back. Who knows? But no matter what happens, I think how the Senate behaved in the recent election will never be forgotten by the people. I think a lot of people will never forget what happened here and how they basically went against the will of the people, which was not the reason they should have been there, but at the end of the day seems to be the reason why they were at the end of the day. But nevertheless, we'll move on to the next story. A couple of sisters arrested in Lampang bust alleged operators of a 700 million online gambling site. This is a real story, guys. Two sisters in Lampang are facing charges for allegedly operating a gambling website with around a 700 million baht in circulation. Punika and Pratana Araya Suan, 41 and 39 respectively, were apprehended along with 4 staff members during raids on 3 houses in the northern province. The staff members, comprising of 3 men and a woman, served as website administrators and marketing personnel. Police discovered that the website HP Poipet lured individuals into online betting through advertisements. Now, upon raiding one of the houses, authorities found the sisters and staff engaging with online gambling customers. The location, appearing as a grocery shop from the outside, concealed a bedroom outfitted with IT equipment for website operations. The sisters disclosed that they had previously worked at a casino in the Cambodian border town of Poipet before returning to Thailand. Subsequently, they obtained a franchise from a Cambodian operator, facilitated by their brother-in-law, to operate the HP Poipet website in Thailand. Now, operating in Lampang for 7 years, the sisters claim commissions ranging from 10 to 20% of betting amounts. With over 5,000 customers, including Thais and Cambodians, the website amassed over 700 million baht in circulation, according to police reports. I don't know where I really stand on this. I do think they're probably going to go to jail for a while and whatnot, but I mean, this stems from Thailand being so strict with the gambling and everything, but yet they allow you to do the lottery and people go crazy over doing the lottery. And there's not a huge difference between, you know, gambling, playing cards and doing the lottery. At the end of the day, it's chance, it's risk. You're paying money for risk. And I guess maybe I know they've talked about having casinos here in Thailand and they've spoken about bringing that in, but then maybe only for foreigners and not for Thai nationals be able to participate and whatnot. But for me, I think these kind of things highlight the dangers for people in this country. If you go to the likes of my own country, Ireland, UK, many places, you can gamble. No problem. Go into a betting shop and you can gamble on whatever you want. You can play online games. There's no real issue. But here in Thailand, everything is so controlled where you can do very little without somebody knowing about it and without the police then coming to raid and take you to jail. And it is I'm kind of torn between if Thailand needs to think about maybe changing the laws and possibly bringing some of this into a more legal framework to operate. Look, online gambling is going to happen one way or the other, whether you like it or not. The government can't really stop it. VPNs are out there. You can bypass their blockers or whatever way they tried to block websites, and Thais being able to use it, and even foreigners when you're here in the country. And it's literally impossible to do. So maybe it's time they start to think that, well, we can't stop people. Maybe we need to come up with another solution. Maybe make a little bit of money from it. You know, maybe tax it. And you might actually be able to put more money into running of the country. Because at the moment, we know, and I've said this before, there's only about 2 or 3 million people in this country out of a population of about 65 million actually paying tax here. So maybe it's time they need to look at alternatives like this, you know, making these things a little more legal and getting their cut out of it. I don't know. What do you think about it? I'd love to know your opinion, as you know, always down below in the comment section. And finally, I think I brought this story to you before, but it's still going on. Krabi entrepreneur urges government to intervene as water crisis looms. So apparently PP Island has 7 days of water left. That's what I read on a website, and this article kind of confirms it. A business operator in Thailand's southern Krabi province is sounding the alarm over the urgent need for action as the region grapples with scorching temperatures and severe drought. Thanawat Pukhauluan, a Krabi entrepreneur, raised concerns on Friday, revealing that the province has less than 100,000 cubic meters of water left for tap water production. Without rainfall soon, Krabi could face a water shortage for consumption within 7 or 8 days, that's all. The situation on PP Island, a popular tourist destination, Krabi, has worsened as the company supplying fresh water suspended its service since Tuesday, April 23rd. This has left locals and hotel operators without access to essential water sources. Now, Thanawat emphasized the inadequacy of the current measures, particularly on PP Island, which falls under the jurisdiction of the Ao Nang Sub-District Administration Organization. He urged the Krabi Provincial Administration Organization to intervene and allocate funds for establishing a more sustainable water supply system for the island. Highlighting the success of similar initiatives, Thanawat pointed to Phuket's PAO allocation of 50 million baht to enhance the Bang Wan Reservoir, ensuring water supply to drought-affected villages in Kamala sub-district. Addressing the water shortage, Thanawat mentioned the possibility of artificial rain, but acknowledged its limitation or its limited effectiveness given Krabi's unique climate challenges. So just to clarify as well, a lot of the hotels on PP Island actually have their own wells, so they do have water. It's just the government water supply that seems to have or is running out or is being switched off. You know, when you see these kind of things and you hear about drought in Thailand, now we're at the end of April, coming into May, and PP Island obviously was very busy at the Songkran festivities and whatnot. Did they really think it was a great idea to allow people to spray water and have water fights when you actually have a shortage of water on your island? And the same in Krabi itself. I mean, I'm pretty sure there was loads of people spraying water, having the festivities for the Songkran without a thought for the fact that we've no water in the province. And in Phuket, you could see the same thing happening very soon. People have had a great party time. April, by the way, it's such a strange time. I know that the Songkran festival is based on lunar things and whatnot, and why and when they have the festival. But it seems to fall at the worst time in Thailand, pretty much when the country seems to always be having very hot weather and water shortages. And it seems that nobody really learns from this. They continue to splash water, have fun, and then the consequences after that are you don't have water. And I always think to myself, maybe a little better planning might be something to think about in the future, but I don't know. I do hope for the people on Krabi that things get sorted out. They've been talking about using seawater and desalinization or whatever, but they, of course, this is way down the line. I think something like that would be a good idea for PP Island, because I don't think it's sustainable to keep pumping water from the mainland to Krabi Island. You see what happens. And Krabi, of course, is now running out of water as well. Of course, this will be all solved by a big rain for a couple of weeks, which would help. Currently, no sign of any rain coming, which is quite serious. But nevertheless, that is it. And as we conclude today's episode, I want to invite you to share your thoughts in the comments below. This show isn't just about delivering news, it's about fostering a conversation. Your insights and perspectives matter. So keep the dialogue alive, like the video, subscribe to our channel, and share it with others. Your support means the world to us. I'm Kieran Mack, and you've been tuning in to the Thai Expat Daily Show. Until next time, take care and stay engaged.